Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to give you some tips on how to do a quick assessment when you're doing a bid for the first time. And you're going to get, of course, better at this the more times you bid pools. But if you're new and you're out there bidding pools, I'll give you some things to look for right away. And you can pretty much assess everything within the first 2 or 3 minutes. And that way you're not wasting your time or anyone else's time. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. I think the first thing you should have is something in your head of what you're actually looking for. So you should have some ideal criteria that you're aiming for. And the pool can fail in a few categories, but of course, you don't want the pool to be failing in multiple categories. And I'll give you some examples here. You should have in your head that you want really good operating equipment. You may even specify that you want newer equipment. And in your area, you may have a lot of pools with new equipment. If you're like in Temecula, California, or Rancho Cucamonga, a lot of the times the pools are being built and they have new equipment and you're getting new service accounts from the builder directly. That's also a plus. The next thing, of course, is to have in your head what you want as far as the largest pool size that you want to maintain on your route. So you may have, 20,000 gallons as your limit. Anything larger than that, you would pass on automatically. So you have equipment. You may even specify what kind of filter you like. So if you want just cartridge filters, that's something that's on your list also. And then you have, of course, variable speed pumps would be a plus. And then the pool size would be the second thing you look at. And then, of course, you want to look at the foliage around the area. You would want to have an account with a lot less trees than more trees. And, of course, neighbor's trees are also an important factor. So these are things that you look at and you have criteria for automatically set before you go to the bid. You don't want to be bidding pools without kind of having some kind of baseline that you're working off of to begin with. And it's really important that you set these parameters. Another one you may want to set as a baseline is distance from another pool. So if the pool is out of your territory, so to speak, you may not want to take it because then you're driving a very long time to get there and then driving back to your route. So you want to have as tight of a route as possible. Now, of course, you're starting out, and so you're going to take most of these pools, even if it's a little bit longer drive, and even if it doesn't fit all the criteria. But as you start to develop your route and refine it, this criteria becomes more and more important because you're going to pass on a lot of the pools that you're bidding on because they don't fit this particular criteria. And the last one that I think a lot of people should have, and that I have and a lot of people in my group have, is that you want to have an automatic cleaner in that pool. Without the automatic cleaner, most people will pass on that pool or sell the customer a cleaner or charge a little bit of a premium because it takes longer to clean that pool. Now, that may sound kind of like we're stuck up or something, but that's not true. We just want to maximize our time because time is money. Everything's so expensive now. Fuel, equipment, chemicals, and so you want to make sure you're making money and you have to have this set criteria before you even get to the place or the customer to bid on the pool. I find that it's always best to meet the customer and kind of get an idea of who's hiring you. Sometimes that's not possible because they're working and they just want to do maybe a text kind of thread and you go back there and assess it. That's probably the worst case scenario. You would at least want to talk to them on the phone to kind of get a feel for, how they talk to you and communicate. I think that's important at the least. But, of course, if they're there, then they should be there if they care about their pool, if they're not like super busy, to at least, you know, assess you yourself and your business. But there are some blind bids I've done before, and they work out okay. It's not the greatest situation, but sometimes you just have to do it like that. And you may have to work with the customer just over the phone or through email, and that's fine in some respects, but not the ideal, because you want to assess the customer. Because so part of you assessing the pool is also assessing the person hiring you, and you want to ask questions, kind of leading questions, like, you know, who was maintaining the pool before, what happened to them, and you get some idea of, you know, how they're going to be with you as a service provider based on how they answer those questions. If they say something like, well, we're just looking for someone who can do the job better at a lower price, then you know that they may not be the best customer. Or they may say something like, the other pool guy just wasn't doing the job well, we just want to hire the best company. Then you have more higher hopes for that particular pool. So these are important conversations. And as you get more experience, you'll be able to kind of feel or get a feel for the customer. Most people that are hiring you are going to be nice, they're going to be friendly, and they're going to want your service. Sometimes you take over a pool that has problems, algae maybe turning green, or something may not be functioning. A lot of times the prior pool company can't fix something, so they just leave the account and let someone else handle it. I've seen this happen a lot, and I've gotten a lot of pools where the equipment wasn't running. You know, maybe the motor was dead, or there was some kind of weird air leak, and they couldn't fix it, so they just left the account. That happens, and so you're inheriting that problem too. But you should be at the level to where you can either fix it, or you can refer it out to who you have in your pocket as your repair person. And this is an important side note, and I'll go off on a little tangent here, but you want to make sure you have a good repair technician available to troubleshoot these things that you can't do before you take the account. For example, if you take an account and there's an air leak and the pump's not priming, you want to be able to send your person out there to fix it, because sometimes you can't fix those things, and a lot of pool pros really don't delve into the air leaks to some extent. Sometimes you have to refer it to a leak detection company that can check the whole system, and it gets expensive for the customer. But you need to have a team in place so that if you do inherit a pool with an existing problem, you'll have a way to solve that problem for the customer. Otherwise, you're going to be just like the other company that they didn't like or got rid of. And so you want to, of course, be different, and you want to land the account with the expectation that you're going to fix that problem. Now, if the pool is algae or if it's green, you should be able to correct that on your own. You should have enough skill to turn a pool around before you take on a pool that doesn't look that great or that's going south, because the customer expects you to come in there and do that. And if you're really good at this, you'll be like the hero for them. You'll make their pool look amazing, and they'll definitely keep you as their service provider for years, because they're always going to remember how well you turned their pool around for them at the beginning. Now, I mentioned this a lot when I talk about bidding. You don't really want to turn anything on at the bid. This is later on when you get the account. You could do an equipment assessment for the customer, because the danger of you trying to turn anything on or doing anything to the pool is that now you're holding the bag. There was one of my members that he was inexperienced, and it was an above ground pool he was bidding, and he saw the pump basket was full of debris, and he's like, oh, here's one of the problems you have. The pump basket is full of debris. And so he took the pump lid off, not realizing that with an above ground pool, you have to turn off the valve so that you can actually open up the pump basket so you can get it back on, because what happens is below sea level and all the water is going to be gushing out, and there's no way to get that lid on when that's happening. Now, he called me because he was panicking, because water was like draining out of this above ground pool, and basically there were no valves at the equipment. So I told him, well, what you can do is get a tennis ball or a rag and quickly stuff it in the skimmer. And he did that, and he was able to get the lid back on, thankfully. But the reason why that was never cleaned is because when they installed the above ground equipment, they didn't put any valves in there, which I've seen before, by the way. It's not unusual. And you can't even clean out the pump basket. But yeah, there's some tricks you can do to stop the water flow. And that was one of the tricks that I know from experience works. And it's one of the things that you're going to have to know, is that don't touch anything. Another one of my members was touching the automated panel, and he hit a button. I'm not sure what he did, but he turned everything into spa mode, and he couldn't get it back in the pool mode. And I just told him, you know, real quick, go over there and just turn the breaker off to the automated panel. And then it should go back into his regular auto mode when it comes back on. And it sure did. And he was thankful for that. But don't touch anything because you could mess something up. And if you go to turn on the pump and then it starts to, you know, smoke, the customer may think that you did something to the equipment. So my rule is that I do an assessment of the equipment. Hopefully the pool is running when you get there. That's the ideal. But I usually don't do anything until I get the account. And then I'll do a full equipment assessment, make sure everything's working. And you may not want to do that. You may want to turn things on there. That's at your own risk. I just found from experience that I don't really like messing with things. Now, of course, if the customer says, oh, you know, my motor's making a loud noise, just tell them, can you turn on the pool for me and I'll listen to it. And have them be the one to turn on the timer mechanism. And then you listen for the motor. That's kind of a way around it. Have the customer turn everything on for you. And that way you're not touching anything. And just tell them, as a rule, I'd like you to turn everything on just for liability purposes. If you ever had a home inspection done by a home inspector, they won't touch anything. They won't move anything because of liability. And there may be a breaker that's off. And they won't even flip it on to check if anything's working. They'll just note that, you know, whatever wasn't working. And then later you can turn the breaker on yourself and find out it was just the breaker that was not turned on. So you're doing this to protect yourself, again, from any kind of liability. And this is important because anything can happen out there. And if you do this 100 times and nothing ever happens, then that's good for you. But something can happen. And so just avoid that. If you want to see if anything's running, if the customer wants to describe something to you, have them turn it on for you or have it running while you're there so you can assess it. Another thing you're looking for is the pool surface. So if you want to run your hand on the pool surface just to see if there's any scaling or etching, this comes into play later with algae or with the customer saying something like, oh, my pool wasn't as rough as it is now after you took over. And now I notice that, you know, my hands and my feet get cut when I'm using the pool. So assess that. Also, you want to walk around and look for any kind of weird things like cracks in the steps or stains that aren't going to come out. And note those, you know, just pretend you're taking the car back, you rented a car and you're taking it back to the rental agency. You'll see how they'll have a picture of the car, and the picture should have some existing marks on it so they know what dents were there before. And then they'll walk around looking for anything new to check off on the car. And thankfully, most of them will, you know, be very lenient when you take the car in because they're not really that particular. But for you doing the bid on the pool, you're being very particular. You're walking around and you're going to make sure that there are no defects that you can be blamed for later. Because what's going to invariably happen is you will be blamed for those later if they're even pre-existing now. So make a note of those. And when you do the bid, you're not really saying too much to the customer. You're taking all these notes and you can be out of there pretty quick, by the way. And one of the things I always recommend is not talking too much to the customer. You're just there to assess it and you just want to be professional. And then you give them the quote. And if you want that pool, you give them a pretty good quote, something in the range of your current accounts. And if you don't want that pool, just say, I'll get back to you later and I'm going to check a few things and I'll let you know if I can fit it into my route. And that way you're not like just leaving them high and dry. And then maybe later you'll send them a message saying, oh, you know what? I looked at my accounts and I'm just overbooked on this day where your pool would have fit in. So I'm going to have to pass on the pool. And overbooking is the best way to kind of dismiss them. And you probably won't get a bad review or anything because they'll understand you're busy. You just have too many accounts and they'll have to go with someone else. But the reason you passed on that pool, maybe there's a giant oak tree over it and you went there and the skimmer basket was totally full to the top where the skimmer lid was actually popping off the pool. By the way, I've seen pools like that. And so you definitely don't want to take that one because of the heavy leaf debris. Or you may have rubbed your hand on the surface and your hand starts to bleed. Basically, you don't want that pool either. There's a lot of pre-existing problems that are going to be in your hands now. And so pass on that pool. Or the equipment is from, you know, the 1980s. You know, you have a Duraglass pump on there and you have a, you know, Purex stainless steel filter. Definitely, you know, the customer doesn't seem like they're upgrading it. They have a, you know, 1980 BMW in the driveway. You know, the trim is all cracked and needs painting. You probably don't want that account either because the customer probably will not get new equipment. And it's one of those things where you're assessing everything and you kind of have already some experience dealing with people and you're going to know exactly which pools to pass on. And you're looking for these things and you're doing a quick assessment. to make sure some of these things fit your criteria. Newer equipment, automatic cleaner, pool surface is nice, not a lot of trees around. And if all these things fit your criteria, then of course you bid the account, you give the customer a fair bid, and you may land that account, may not land that account, but at least you have the criteria that you're working off of and what you're looking for that particular account. Now, if you're just starting out, you can't be extremely picky. So if, you know, maybe 2 out of the 5 fit your criteria, you may take that pool just to have it on your route to bring in some money. But the more that fit your criteria or the more boxes you check off, the better this account's going to be in the long run, because you're building a route to have long-term customers and you're building a route that you can manage and easily do the pools. You don't want to struggle through the day and you don't want to pick up pools that you're going to struggle with. So kind of use this as your baseline when you're doing the bidding. And definitely, you know, all these things are important, and you can maybe put some more things on your checklist that you really think are important for you for that pool. But certainly don't go in there blind and don't go in there without some kind of set criteria in your head. And definitely make sure you look at every detail, look at the trees and the foliage carefully and see what season you're in. And you want to make sure that you're going to get the best account you can get. If you're building your route from scratch, you're going to take everything you can get. But if you're already well established, you're going to be much more selective on which accounts to take and which accounts to pass on. If you're looking for other podcasts I've recorded, you can find those on my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. You just click on the banner icon. That'll take you to a list of the podcasts. It's on the banner. Click on that. And the podcast icon, I should say, is on the banner. Click on that, and that should take you to a list of over 1,300 podcasts I've recorded. You can listen to those at your leisure. And if you're interested in the coaching program, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week. God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.